Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of John, chapter 20. And let us read from verse 19. Verse 28. John chapter 20, verse 19 to 28. Here's the word of God. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and said unto them, Receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins are retained, they are retained. For Thomas, one of the twelve, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, He hath seen the Lord. But he said unto them, He said, I shall see in his hands the print of the nail, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I would not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. I should pray, God, thank you for today. We bless you and I will tell you. Come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your death on the cross for our sin, and we thank you for your resurrection that give us eternal life and give us hope and peace. Thank you for your word that you stand to us on time. Your word that gives us healing, assurance, and peace, and food, and direction, and light, and plan for the next to come in our life. God, I pray that you anoint my lips with your words, and let everyone be convinced of what you want to say to him or to her, and to your church, and to everyone who listens with us, who are here, or just are far away. I pray in the name of Jesus for sense of direction you give through this message to us. We thank you, God, and we bless you. This is our prayer in this name. Amen, amen. John is talking about the resurrection of Christ. As the other gospel has spoken about it, as the other apostle who wrote letters, he spoke about it. But John gives something beautiful and peculiar in this, in the way he described the resurrection of Christ. Christ was risen on the first day of the week, and here, as we have read, he said the same day at evening, the day of his resurrection, and notice that John had added being the first day of the week. So he mentioned that was the Sunday. And that is the day that the Lord has been risen from the dead. Christ, in his visit to his disciples, the title of the message is Christ visited his disciples after the resurrection. The Lord had implemented a strategy for his disciples and for his church for the future to go on. They were gathered and they were assembled. Why they were assembling? Why they were assembled on that day? You see that where the door was shut, where the disciples were assembled like this, that we assemble today, amen? You know why they assembled that day? They were assembled that day. The news of his death was on Friday. Morning, they received the news he resurrected from the dead. Peter, he and John, they ran to the tomb. They did not find him there. All of this conflict was on that day. They need to decide and to do something, what they need to do next. You know, the whole week we labor and work and we carry with us troubles. Yeah, and we need solutions. You know, and I think about myself. You know, at the end of the week, before the day that we assemble, I am like a pregnant woman. I don't know how I will move with the troubles. They were in that situation. They don't know what to say. Christ being crucified. They don't know which message they will tell to the people. They don't know even how to tell the people. They don't know even whether the news is certain, what is the evidence if he is correct. Mary Magdalene, how she ran to them and she told them. But there is no evidence. They don't know what to do. And they assembled very beautifully to say he is the Lord. You see here, Jesus came Jesus and stood in the midst. You know, when we assemble together, and that is here the one thing that God instituted after his resurrection. Yes, we read the Bible, we pray, we know the sacraments, but the importance of weekly assembling, Christ instituted here. When they assembled, Christ stood in the midst of them. You just imagine the church is a tent, and Jesus is that pillar in the middle of the tent that will make the tent stand. And when in every meeting, when we come together, Christ stands and he gives us clear direction of what we need to do and what is the next step that we need to be taking in our life. So there is the importance of the Lord's Day. Day should be set for worship, importance for assembly, and importance also of the ministry, what we need to do, the outstanding ministry. You know the importance of the meeting? It gives us a sense of direction. It can open our eyes to see what is the next few days or few months, what is the solution for our problem, and what we need to do. What he did here, the Lord, and why we need to come together. He told them, peace be unto you. Give them assurance, and the peace that the Lord gives is not a false peace, but and not only as empty peace, but a peace that has value, a peace that is supported by evidences. After he told them, peace be unto you, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands. Well, he need to do that or no? He need to do that because they hear that he is correct. He starts to give them proof that he is resurrected. That is the importance of our gathering. We come with issues, we come with a problem, Christ through our meetings give us proof, give us conviction, give us evidences through what is going on and through all the scriptures. He showed them his hand, he showed them his hand and his side. Then were disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So when we come together, we are burdened with certain problems and issues. The Lord is there in the midst of a huge tent. And his tent, he led the tent also, and he led also the church's tent. And he will start to give us evidences of what is going on in our life. He gave us conviction. And he showed us the truth and also the reality. When we hear him speaking, we are getting solution. We have the gladness and the joy in our heart and stamina and peace and hope that we can go even forward. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So here, the third thing that the Lord established in this meeting is the ministry, that he is sending his disciples of the next thing that they need to do. So here, in addition to what he had told them before, now he instituted that a weekly meeting, because we can read in verse 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were with him. 8 days is this day. Thursday, correct? Sunday also. So next week they were also gathered. Amen? But the first meeting when they gathered is different than the next week meeting. Some people, they go to church, or they will be in the church every other week, you know. But you know, there's one thing you must understand. In every church meeting, we come with certain troubles. The Lord solves it. We push for the next week, we also come with a trouble. The Lord solves the problem. The first week meeting that the Lord assembled with them, what was their problem? They don't have any evidence that the Lord resurrect, what they will tell to the people, and which place they will go and tell. When he told them, as Father sent are you, he gives them commission, assurance that you need to go and speak, I show you the evidences. Now you go and do it. Next week, you know what was their problem? Thomas, who was not there, still he will not humble himself, he was not in the assembly. Yeah? Somewhere here and there. And he's stubborn. They were stuck with him. That week was, second week, meeting was for Thomas. And then let's go back to the first week meeting. Now do you understand why we need to be regular in church? That's why those who does not come to church, and those who leave the church, yeah? Yeah? They think that the church is a grocery that you can play church. Lost of the action. Lost of sense. You will see them, they are doing harmful things. Because Christ is not in the standing in the midst of them. In Luke chapter 24, every week, there's a problem, there's teaching God is sending to the church. Amen? There's a lesson we need to learn. Sometimes the whole church, the teaching is for the whole church, sometimes the teaching is only for one guy, like someone. John in particular, he spoke about the Lord's Day, that is the Sunday, next week of the day. continue. In Luke chapter 24, you know, when the Lord, on the same day, on the third day of the week, when he met the two disciples on the road of Emmaus, and finally he revealed himself to them, in verse 33, he said that, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and then that were with them. So here when the Lord stood in the midst of them, they were not only 11, there was other people with them, plus these two disciples that they met the Lord. Have you got the point? And the Lord also was there in them, it is just read, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon, in verse 35, and they saw what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. So we get the point here that two or three group of people, there's the 11, there's the other people with them, and there's the two disciples, they came together. And everyone has spoke certain testimony. And in verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself again stood in the midst of the assembly. Lord Jesus is standing. Just holding the church. Stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Because when they came from outside, the same first day, they were frightened. They don't know what to do. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? That's why in John it says, peace be to you. They were troubled. Behold my hand. He showed them now. He has to give them proofs, convincing evidences. That's our church meeting. Proofs and evidences. Because if you will just be in verse 38, can you check verse 38? You are troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Thoughts, but there is no basis of anything. But the Christ, when he comes with evidence. Behold my hand and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not a flesh, and born as ye see me have. In verse 41, in verse 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed him his hand and his feet. In verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondering, at the beginning of the meeting they are frightened, they are troubled. In the middle of the meeting there is what we call joy and wonder, half-half. But at the end there is a peace and a real assurance and hope. That's why we need to be here. He says unto them, have ye any meat? He asked them, do you have any food? And he took it, and they gave him a piece of wild fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. So he really asked food to eat so that they will be convinced that he is not a spirit. The resurrected Lord is a body like us. Is the body of Christ crucified is the body that is resurrected, is the body that is ascended, is the body that is now at the right hand of God the Father, a man. In verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So he brought them back to the scriptures. And which scriptures he used? He used the Old testament to Christians. That's where the importance for our meeting. We come together and we open the scriptures. You know, the scriptures is not open. And the Holy Spirit come and stay on the scriptures. We cannot see this in the next stage in our life. That's why Christians will vary from thought and trouble to joy and wonder, and then there is a peace that is the way that God, based on these evidences, based on this proof, based on this scripture that God has shown. In verse 45, why we need to be in the assembly? And when there is evidence, the Lord in our midst stands in the meeting. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That is where they were able to see what is written in the Bible. They can see it very clearly when he opens their mind to understand scriptures. You know, that is what is lacking now today in the Christian church. Even there is a Bible, but if the mind is not open to understand and to catch the scriptures, they will not be able to see clearly what the Lord is speaking here. What do you mean here? How to apply it? But everything is in the Bible. I mean, we need to be really asking God to open our mind to understand scriptures. Because the application of God's word will not be possible unless people, their minds will be opened by the Lord to understand the scriptures. But these are people who came in that meeting. Can you get the point here? They were not coming for time. They were really their heart to assemble together. They are facing certain issues and they want to come together, and the Lord came in the middle of them, back them up with the solution, with the scriptures, with the evidences that they need, and he enabled them to see what is the next. And that's why we come together. We come together. We have a problem. The Lord is there. He will help us. He will comfort us. He will direct us. He will give us peace, take the worries. And then He show us what is next and what we need also to do. Verse 46, and say unto them, this is what's written, and thus behold, Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He promised them to have the Holy Spirit in John 20, while that meeting is there, why we need to come together, we need to assemble really, you know, I believe our problems will be solved when we come together. Sitting at home, making excuses, that will increase more confusion. But God will provide to us of what He instituted. The same John who emphasized here about the meeting every Sunday, he is the same who wrote the book of Revelation, and he mentioned that in the day of the Lord, that Sunday, he received that meeting. So he confirmed it. John chapter 20, after he has shown them the evidences. Verse 22. And when he has said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. When we come together, we get not only empowered with the Word of God, but with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit-filled life and solutions for our troubles. That is why we should really be thankful to God and come together with faith, bringing all our worries not only to the world only, but also to one another, because in these things the Lord will give us solution for what? He will give us spiritual solution, direction, enlightenment for our eyes to see the things and to do the things. The Spirit give revival, the Spirit give peace, the Spirit give regeneration, and the Lord told them also in verse 23, whoever sin he remits, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sin he retains, they are retained. So in that meeting he gives them the mission, and he gives them also the authority, and he told them, the sin that you say it is not, it will not be forgiven, and if you say it is forgiven based on things, on the sound of sin that they have received from the Lord. Our ministry should be based on two things. First, we should have sound doctrine. Second, we must be strict in discipline. The apostles, they have received the teaching from the Lord. That much they were living in. Before the Lord would come, they were far deviated, but when the Lord came into their life, they were in the right way. That's why when they started to serve the Lord, they put very clear direction for the church and for the church system. You know, today, I give you an example. I was forced to move to Acts chapter 15, and where the apostles, they need to set a sound teaching and discipline. Because he said that if you forgive your sin, be forgiven. If not, you not. But they must put the word of God. The Holy Spirit reminded me about the Gentile churches. Because the church, when it started first, it was Jewish, right? And the Gentile, who are all the remaining nation who does not know God. But nowadays, the church, very many of them are Jewish, right? But the remaining is the Gentile. Amen? What the apostle ordained for the Gentile who does not know the law of God, who does not know the law of God? Let's see, Acts 15. And when they were discussing that the Gentile who come to know Christ, they must get circumcised. And they don't know which, that the Jews, they say they need to follow the law of Moses. But the disciples, the apostles of the Lord, put outlines of what they need to do. I need to find the verse. Ah. verse 28 to verse 29. Also verse 25, what is the hypothesis that they put in the law that they had ordained for the Gentile churches. And let us see the student if the Gentile churches now, let us see if the Gentile churches now are doing this. The apostles, you know, they don't want to make it complicated. They want to give the Gentile easy laws to follow. But let us see, are you obeying this law or not? In verse 25, they say, it seems good unto us, being assembled with one accord, again they assembled, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Paul, Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Verse 28, for it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourself, you shall do well, far ye well. You know, I was just meditating on the word fornication. What? Fornication, that sex before marital life. Which church today is obeying this word? Is the church of God? We say it. But do we have measures and implemented that our boys, not only the girls, the boys also are virgins? This is not from my pocket. This is the apostles of Jesus. They want to make it easy to me and to you. They did not say 1, 2, 3 from the Old Testament. Small things. Are the churches filled with this discipline? Absolutely not. We really need to be very careful as church and families and members to be doing all what we can, starting from our children, watching them, you know, till they are in their families. You know, when they say that the Old Testament is hard but the New Testament is easy, can we apply this? That's the New Testament. Apostles say, no, thank you. Now we have to remove the mobiles from their hands, the tablets, the TVs, how about the friends? That's no problem, but if you want to think about fornication, you have to prohibit all these things so that you'll be able to obey the minimum. It seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us. We don't want to make it difficult to them. But even the simple things that the apostles ordained for the Gentile church, and we are the Gentiles, we are not doing it in a proper way. Well, you know what the church now is doing? Supporting fornication. Supporting those who do wrong and fighting with those who are claiming and proclaiming and putting the discipline of the apostles. We need to repent. We need to come back to the Lord. And you know, the Lord is good. Today he is standing in our midst. It's very clear. If you remit their sins, will be remitted. If you not remit, will not. They have put sound teaching for us. They are the one who lays the foundation of the church. Apostle Paul says, I have laid a foundation as an expert builder. the rest of karma should apply it in the same way. Little drifting, after a year, we are far away. Let's come back to God. Today the Lord is in the midst of us, showing us of what we need to do. When the Lord is in the midst of us, He is giving us the servant. You know, when He sent the apostles, He not only gives them authority and wisdom, but He gives them also the servant. The Lord that they put here, as we read in Acts 15, for the Gentile church, and we are the Gentile churches, to be abstained from food sacrifices from idols to all the parties in the world. That is from Christmas to Halloween to Valentine to Mother Day, all these parties. It's all not for God, for idols. Abstained from it, and they put fornication. Because if devil get us on that way, he will destroy enormous number of people. The discernment the Lord has given to the apostles has shown also what is the future fate. When you come to the church meeting, we not only come to solve our problems, but we can see what is the heavy problem ahead of us. When the Lord stood in the midst of them, they were not only able to see the solution for their present troubles, but they can see ahead the challenges that is await for them. But there's one thing beautiful. We don't need to be worried much. Because in every meeting the Lord will stood in our midst, and He will deal with certain issues. The first week was evidences of His resurrection. Second week was dealing with Thomas. I don't know what happened in the third week, but I know. In every week they assemble together. They have problems to be solved. And there are also solutions, there's also enlightenment, there's also that God will open our eyes to see what is ahead of us. And will give us the guidelines to implement so that when we are there, we are free from that danger. Let's go today. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you and we thank you. Thank you for you stood in the midst of them, in the assembly. We thank you, God, because in every assembly of us you stand and you give us peace. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness, O God. Thank you, God, because the one who heals. And we talk to the Lord that even today as we cry out to you, as the disciples came together crying at that time, they don't know what to do. Even, Lord, that the sins that we are facing with the corruption of the body of Christ and immorality and the persecution we are meeting by indifference to the discipline, indifference to the apostles' teaching that we are facing, even from the people who are called by your name, O God. I pray, O God, you heal. Heal, O God, and give us as a church in the name of Jesus, Lord, give us, O God, Lord, solutions for next coming troubles that we are going to face. O God, I commit to you, Lord, our young adult children, O God, the youth, O God, the sinners, O Lord. We pray that we will abide within the section of the apostles. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for the peace that we receive from you. Thank you for the assurance of eternal life. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. We magnify. Hear our language.
Oh,
your life. And so, Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your death. And Lord, we ask forgiveness because we have been the grace. We, our churches, our forefathers, in faith. Oh God, ask forgiveness. But make a way, Lord. God, honor to stand in the midst of the sins of your people. I plead to you, God, you help. Help, you can carry us, carry our sins, carry our people. Lead us, oh God, the solution for this present crisis that we don't know how to manage. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, we are powerless and massive and powerless. Lord, I trust you. You are great God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for this. Thank you for the solution. Thank you for the sense of direction you give us. And thank you for the evidence. And the proof and the convincing power of your presence. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you live, you can face me. With us. In the group of God, our fellowship tonight, that each and every one, our brethren, our families, that all the congregation, everyone who is here and that are far away, hearing and listening to the word, we bless them. Bless us, O God, enlarge our territory, let your hand be with us, and give us, Lord, from harm so that we are not complain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this morning. Amen. Amen.